You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Patrick Mahomes. 5 days and counting to the championship game. Will the best player in the sport be on the field? Plus, you cannot ask for more. Brady versus Rodgers with the Super Bowl at stake. Which legend has the advantage headed in the NFC? And then Deshaun dropping hints about where he wants to go. And I, for one, could not be more excited. Details on all those and more as we get up with you starting right now. On a Tuesday from New York in the Seaport, this is Greeny. We are Get Up on ESPN and we are jam-packed. A ton of news today. The football crew is here ready to go. T-minus 5 days and counting to the conference championship games. Dan Graziano has the insight. The big swagoo is ready to go. And Jeff Saturday will be handing out pancakes as we move it along. But it begins in Kansas City, where quarterback Patrick Mahomes remains in the NFL's concussion protocol. This, of course, I think is the most significant storyline coming out of the NFL's divisional playoff round. Will he be able to suit up Sunday against Buffalo? Here's his coach, Andy Reid.
I mean, there was a chance, back in the day that Patrick comes in. I mean, you know, comes back in. And I think Patrick could tell you, I mean, you saw him run up the tunnel and by the time he got to that point, he was feeling pretty good. There's a certain protocol that you have to follow and that takes it out of the trainer's hand and player's hand and doctor's hand.
Back in the day, that's the way they did things. They would say, how many fingers? You would say Tuesday, and you would go back in the game. These obviously are very different times. Dan Graziano, what do we know about the possibilities here with Mahomes?
Yeah, just too soon in the week to know. I mean, look, the concussion protocol is designed to save the player from himself and from the team, right? So it takes it out of everyone's hands. He has to pass each stage of the protocol. He has to not show concussion symptoms after he passes each stage of the protocol. And if he gets through the concussion protocol, even if he's back on the practice field at some point this week and all the way through the protocol, if he shows symptoms again on Friday morning, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, then he would have to go back to stage one. So we really won't know for sure that he can play Sunday until, honestly, Sunday.
Okay, so that's sort of the backdrop of the situation here. So I'm going to try and put into perspective just how significant I think this story is in the form of a statement for my two players here. All right, and Jeff Saturday, I will start with you. And if Patrick Mahomes doesn't play in this game, I believe the Kansas City Chiefs have next to no chance of winning. Jeff? Your reaction?
Totally disagree. Totally disagree. Listen, Patrick Mahomes is an incredible quarterback. I'm not taking any of that away. But this team can win without Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, there are a number of reasons why you understand this team is not here just because of one guy. They have an embarrassment of riches on the outside with a Kelce, Hill, Hardman. Like, keep going through, guys. If Edwards-Helaire comes back in the run game, they basically beat Buffalo running the ball the last time they played. Had over 200 yards rushing. So to completely wipe out the Kansas City Chiefs of advancing to the Super Bowl because of Patrick Mahomes, couldn't disagree more.
Marcus?
I disagree with Jeff. I don't think they can beat the Bills without him, man. We've seen the Bills be explosive offensively, and sometimes you just have to match that. And if Pat Mahomes is not on that field, I can't see them matching that. Also, with that being said, I love that Jeff Saturday brought up all of the weapons on the outside and all of the guys that make plays on this team. And he's absolutely right about Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, all of the guys that you can mention. But they ain't them same guys without 15 back there. I'm sorry to tell everybody, I know that Kelce is a top tight end regardless. I know that Tyreek is a top wide receiver regardless. But 15 adds something extra that makes everybody fear everything that's going on the field. And not to mention, like, let's remember now, Patrick Mahomes, we saw Henny scramble for almost a 14-yard first down pickup. If you go back to the playoffs last year, Patrick Mahomes used his legs quite a bit. And the reason why a lot of those things were wide open is because people were absolutely terrified at the fact that he could go downfield at any time. Jeff, I understand completely what you're saying. We both played this game, and you can find ways to win sometimes, but I think Patrick Mahomes is too much of a hill to get over, especially against a Buffalo Bills team that's playing lights out right now when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. Too much for them to get over, bro.
Swagoo, you have completely changed since TV happened to you, man. I mean, are we going to say that Spagnuolo and the Chiefs defense, you explosive offense, the Bills scored 10 points, man. That ain't explosive.
Jeff.
I mean, the Bills defense spotted them 7, bro. Like, what happened to you? You become an offensive guy. I'm supposed to be the offensive guy. You're supposed to have some defensive love. You don't think that Spags can put something together to slow down Buffalo? I do not believe this is going to be the track meet everybody thinks. Don't underestimate how important defense is to win championships. And that my man Swagoo ain't up here talking. We might need to bring RCN, I mean Foxworth, some other defensive guys that ain't got their head hit as much as my man Swagoo. Because
This the kind of morning it's going to be. Just let me know. You didn't warn me before the show. We're going to have kind of morning. Okay, listen. A quick rebuttal to this. Jeff, the Chiefs have played tight games this year. The difference has been Patrick Mahomes, bro. Like, I just don't. Listen, I totally understand what you're saying. Don't get me wrong. But even in those close games, let's go back to the Super Bowl. If that's not Patrick Mahomes, they don't win that game. Let's go back to the divisional round when the Houston Texans went up and the Tennessee Titans went up. They don't win that. I'm just saying, if they are going to beat the Bills, it's going to have to be absolute go rightness. I created a new term. Everything is going to have to go right. You do not have a margin for error if Patrick Mahomes is not playing in this game, man. I just can't see it.
We will come back to this, I promise. This is only the very beginning of this part of the conversation. I'll just quickly say, Chiefs have been favored every week this season. They haven't covered a spread since the first weekend of November, to the point, Marcus, that you just made. Meanwhile, that's the AFC side. Let's get to the NFC title game. And despite having both made the playoffs in 10 different seasons, the 2020 playoffs will be the first postseason in which Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers will cross paths. It'll actually be the fourth different matchup in playoff history between quarterbacks with multiple MVPs. The other times it happened were Brady and Manning, Warner and Favre, Favre and Young. And in terms of conference championship games, Brady versus Rodgers will be the oldest ever quarterback matchup, as well as the one with the most combined passing yards and passing touchdowns all time. So what can you say? You can't ask for more. And with Rodgers likely being this season's MVP, here's an extraordinary stat that Hembo put together for us. Tom Brady and his teams have eliminated 7 MVPs from the playoffs over the seasons that those guys won the awards in his career, 7 different times, including twice in the same year, the co-MVPs in 2003. Peyton Manning and Steve McNair, Brady beat them both. We presume Rodgers will win it this year, so Brady might have a chance for his 8th. Meanwhile, let's set the stage for this game. Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Buccaneers, said this to Peter King, quote, "Tom Brady is the consummate leader, has been all year. Got the air of confidence that permeates through our team every day. I allow him to be himself, like New England didn't allow him to coach. I allow him to coach. I just sit back and sometimes and watch." Huh. Let's talk about that. Marcus Spears, is Bruce Arians taking a shot at Bill Belichick there?
Yeah. Bruce is petty. B.A. is petty. We've seen it all season long. And I'm here for it. I love it. He's in the playoff with the quarterback that was in New England forever. And he's feeling himself right now. But let me bring this to football, G. This is why you signed Tom Brady. Because sometimes as a head coach, you need to just get the hell out of the way and let him work things out. And we're starting to see those things materialize with this offense. It looks more Brady-esque, especially in this Saints game. They decided to run the football. He checked the football down to Leonard Fournette. They got their over-the-top passes that came off of play action. His way of play allowed this offensive line to look really good that was demolished in the 38-3 loss they suffered during the regular season. Get the hell out of the way is what BA is saying. Now, fine, look, we have a million quotes from Bruce Arians this year. We talked about he don't like Brady. He calling Brady out to the media. What is going to do to the relationship? B.A. and Tom Brady obviously had this relationship thing working all along, which we figured at some point the GOAT, the greatest quarterback of all time, was going to get it figured out. And what you see is Tom Brady's influence on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not only that's the reason they in the NFC Championship, it's also the reason that Bruce Arians is confident enough to come on here and throw a shot all the way across the country, right, to Bill Belichick, but also get ready for an NFC Championship game against Aaron Rodgers. I like the swag. I love it. I love the shot. It's a shot.
What do you think, Jeff Saturday?
If Bruce Arians is throwing a shot at Bill Belichick for the way he coached Tom Brady, he is high. Let's be real, Greeny. Make sure we're 100% clear on what I just said. All the swag you just said, I get it. My man Tom Brady has rings on not one, but two hands. I mean, have you seen the pictures? Because I have. Are we saying that Belichick didn't give Brady the best opportunity to win, that he didn't let him coach? Give me a freaking break, man. That dude, listen, Tom Brady changed the culture in New England no differently that he did in Tampa Bay. I love that B.A. sits back and lets him coach. I was part of an organization with Peyton Manning. Everybody sat back and let Peyton play and coach. He should. But to act like that New England did it wrong with all them championships, come on, man. Like, are we serious right now? And I love the swag. I love all that he's talking about. Absolutely ridiculous to say he didn't let him coach or do whatever. Well, he sure won a bunch of championships. I'll take them rings however he did it in New England.
Graziano, what do you think of all this?
Well, I think it's amazing that they won, because now we get to hear more Bruce Arians this week, and you never know what he's going to say. But it's amazing about the Bucs is they finally did something, right? Like, they beat the Saints. Like, this is the first really good team they've beaten since about week six, and we hear all these things about we can do whatever we want. You know, we beat the Falcons by 4 points. We're so great. Having knocked off the Saints, even though Drew Brees couldn't have wrapped it any prettier for them, I think finally gives them reason to crow, and I expect him to do it all week. And if they were to beat the Packers next Sunday, you're going to hear 2 weeks of Bruce Arians talking about how awesome his Tampa Bay Buccaneers are.
All right, so that's the stage set now on both of these conference championship games. A few other notes to get to this morning. Graziano, let's run the hurry up. What is the latest on Antonio Brown's knee?
Antonio Brown hurt his knee, left the game on Sunday. They had an MRI yesterday, awaiting results on that. Obviously, Antonio Brown, you know, in the mix at receiver, but we did see when he went out that the Buccaneers have plenty of coverage there with guys like Tyler Johnson and Scotty Miller. So deep at receiver, never needed Antonio Brown in the first place. They'd probably be just fine this week without him if he can't play. Let's talk about some coaching news. The Philadelphia Eagles still need a coach. They have interviewed several people, most prominently Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. Talking to people around this situation, it sounds like there's a real chance that McDaniels is brought in as the head coach of the Eagles. They still have to work some things out in terms of other candidates and what the possible drawbacks are of McDaniels. We all know his history with Denver, with Indianapolis, etc. So that still needs to be worked out. But don't be surprised if Josh McDaniels end up as the coach of the Eagles. The Houston Texans are the other team that still needs a head coach. They've interviewed several people. They've interviewed Eric Bieniemy yesterday. They interviewed Leslie Frazier, the Bills defensive coordinator, a former head coach. They interviewed Jim Caldwell, a former head coach. It's an interesting group of people. The fact that Bieniemy's on the list is interesting, of course, because we know about Deshaun Watson's preference for him. But it's also more interesting to me that they're interviewing former head coaches, because I think there's a sense around Houston that they want to bring somebody in who can kind of settle the waters a little bit, and guys like Leslie Frazier and Jim Caldwell certainly fit that bill.
All right, Dan Graziano with the very latest from the NFL. Thank you. We will have much more football as we go, but we have a very significant story today, and we have breaking news just into our newsroom. The New York Mets have fired their general manager, Jared Porter, after Porter admitted sending explicit, unsolicited texts to a female reporter back in 2016 when he worked for the Cubs. ESPN's Jeff Passan and Mina Kimes obtained the text record between Porter and the reporter. I want to warn you, as we play you this story, that there is explicit language. Here's Jeff Passan.
I've interviewed other places. I've had opportunities. When this one came up, I was so excited. I mean, this is a dream job for me.
For years, Jared Porter seemed destined to be a general manager. But just a month after becoming one for the New York Mets, he faces allegations about explicit text messages he sent in 2016 to a female baseball reporter who was working in the U.S. for a foreign media outlet. Among the texts were dozens the reporter didn't respond to, some with unsolicited lewd photos that we've blurred and blacked out for this story. ESPN first learned about the text messages in 2017 from a source in baseball and then contacted the reporter, but she declined to discuss the texts, saying she feared going public could harm her career. Now, no longer in journalism, she agreed to an interview, she said, to try to prevent this from happening again with Porter in a greater position of power. She spoke through an interpreter on the condition of anonymity, citing a fear of backlash in her home country. They met in late June 2016, she said, in a ballpark elevator when Porter was the Chicago Cubs director of pro scouting. He began sending her texts, and they corresponded sporadically for about 3 weeks, him complimenting her, her responding despite a limited grasp of English. Then, on July 19th, he sent a selfie, and she replied with one of her own. Then Porter said, "You're gorgeous. Want more of me?" Question mark. And she texted a laugh and said, "Yes." Porter also laughed, then sent another selfie, followed by a photo of himself on a bed with a bulge in the crotch area of pants. After sending another selfie, he asked, "Like?" She again texted a laugh and said, "Yes," adding, "You are not married?" He responded, "Nope." "Which picture do you like the most? Want to see more?" Those and similar texts that followed from Porter were among the more than 60 he sent over the next 3 weeks that she never responded to. She told ESPN that until then, she thought it would be awkward to say no to Porter's questions, and that if she had a better understanding of the language and culture, she would have realized sooner what was going on. On July 20th, Porter sent a series of photos. The first, one of the three World Series rings he won with the Boston Red Sox, where he'd risen from intern to pro scouting director. Then, two photos of a bulge in shorts, to which he added, "Am I annoying you?" At 2:44 a.m. the next day, Porter texted, "I want to see you." 9:45 a.m., "Do you want to see me?" 12:51 p.m., "I'm sorry." Porter's unanswered texting continued, and on August 9th, he and the reporter were in Chicago at Wrigley Field. "I think I just saw you. You're so beautiful." The reporter told ESPN she felt panicky, and she hid to avoid him. A day later, Porter's message, "I'll be in L.A. this weekend at the best hotel in America. Can you meet me there?" The next evening, Porter texted, "You're missing out." Next, he sent more than a dozen photos of hotel grounds, food, and a bathtub. Then, a shot of pants with a bulge on a bed. And finally, he texted a shot of a fully naked and erect penis. About 2 hours later, he sent several brief texts, including, "Are you there? Mad at me?" She told ESPN she got help composing her first reply to Porter in weeks. "This is extremely inappropriate, very offensive, and getting out of line. Could you please stop sending offensive photos or message?" Porter responded, "Oh, I'm sorry. I will stop. I really apologize. Please let me know if you ever need anything work-wise." The next night, he texted again, "I'm sorry." Porter, who's now 41, has been seen for years as a rising star. He's worked in the World Championship front offices of the Red Sox and Cubs, and with the Arizona Diamondbacks for the last 4 years. After less than a month with the Mets, he and his new team pulled off a major trade for star shortstop Francisco Lindor. As Porter ascended to what he calls his dream job, the woman who received his texts returned to her home country and decided to change careers. She told ESPN she has no plans to pursue legal action against Porter, but that despite his apologies in 2016, she didn't think he was truly sorry for what he did.
The owner of the New York Mets is Steve Cohen. Within the last half hour, he tweeted the following: "We have terminated Jared Porter this morning. In my initial press conference, I spoke about the importance of integrity, and I mean it. There should be zero tolerance for this type of behavior." We'll take a short break here on Get Up. As we continue, back to the NFL we will go. Deshaun Watson dropping hints about where he wants to play next season. We will have the very latest on what could be a blockbuster trade. And Baker Mayfield looked great during the Browns' playoff run. Is he the long-term answer at quarterback in Cleveland? You've got questions, we've got answers. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by Bolt 24, real advanced hydration from the makers of Gatorade. Marcus Spears, you played some hoops when you were done. Tell me what you think of this. Jalen Duren is the number 2 recruit in the ESPN 2022 class. Look at him go up and get that with one hand. Watch this.
Gee, where are they making these young kids at, man? My man Jet Howard was at DeJuan Howard's son, the coach of University of Michigan's son, played in this. So I watched a little bit of this yesterday. Where are they making these young dudes at? They 7'9". 280 and got athleticism.
Coming up, Deshaun is dropping hints you need to know where he's thinking of going. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
UFC history has ever been champion in 2 weight divisions at the same time. It is all over. History has been made. Conor McGregor is the UFC lightweight champion.
Don't miss the next chapter in the career of the notorious Conor McGregor. UFC 257, Poirier versus McGregor 2, live from Fight Island, Saturday, January 23rd. That's this Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern on UFC pay-per-view exclusively on ESPN+. All right, we're going back to the NFL here, and let's figure out what we think might be the best fit for Deshaun Watson next. Let's give everybody a choice. Jeff, Saturday, what do you like as a good fit?
I'm going Indianapolis Colts, total homer move right here, Greeny, but here's the reality. You got Chris Ballard, one of the best general managers in the NFL, right? He's built a solid defense, if not above average. He's got a great offensive line. He's got ascending weapons on the outside, and Jonathan Taylor, who he had a jackpot with at running back. All arrows pointing up. If you're Deshaun Watson, protected run game and defense, I like that Colts fit.
That's hard to argue with that. Graziano, how about you?
I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers. If I were a quarterback right now, this is the offense I would want to play in. We've seen Kyle Shanahan take a team with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback to the Super Bowl in this offense. We've seen Sean McVay take a team with Jared Goff to the Super Bowl in this offense. We are seeing in Green Bay what happens if you put an elite quarterback in this offense. Deshaun Watson goes to San Francisco. That's when you're talking championships. That's when you're talking Hall of Fame.
I like that one, too. Swagoo, how about you?
Yeah, for me, look, this is about Deshaun Watson going to a team that's ready to win now, and that's the New Orleans Saints. By all things we think, Drew Brees played his last game in that playoff game against Tampa. Could you imagine Deshaun Watson, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas on the same team with that offense that Sean Payton would deploy? Terrifying for everybody in the NFL.
For sure. So all of you are making interesting points and theories. I'm going to give you some facts. The New York Post used this as their back cover yesterday, whatever it takes, saying the Jets have to go out and find a way to get him. Deshaun Watson liked that picture on Instagram, okay? So a like is worth 1,000 words in this case. He is dropping breadcrumbs, little hints that maybe, just maybe, the New York Jets would be his preferred destination. And Graziano, as I come to you, as our mutual friend Mr. Schefter pointed out over the weekend, no team has more to offer right now than the Jets do.
Nope.
So what are we hearing as far as the latest on Watson?
Look, I mean, the teams are calling. Right now, Houston is taking the position that they still think they can get it fixed, and they haven't even hired a coach yet. So they're hoping they can cool it down and bring him back and that they don't have to trade him. But right now, people around Watson actually don't think it's salvageable and that it'll end up having to. Yeah, look, Greeny, the Jets are going to run that same offense. They're bringing in Mike LaFleur as their offensive coordinator. He comes from San Francisco under Kyle Shanahan. His brother, of course, coaches the Packers. But look, if you're the Jets, you have the picks. You have two first-rounders this year. You have two first-rounders next year. I want to make this point about Deshaun Watson, and people need to know this. The way his contract is structured, he is scheduled to earn $10.54 million next year. If you trade for him, that is the salary, that is the cap hit for Deshaun Watson. Yes, it goes up to $35 million the year after, $37 the year after that. But for next year, you get Deshaun Watson for the price of an off-ball linebacker. You can build around him. You can sign free agents, front-load contracts, and dump money into next year. This is a stratospherically high-value asset, and the Houston Texans should do everything they can to hang on to it, and if they're going to trade him, they should get absolutely everything they possibly can in return.
Obviously, and that's a really interesting insight. Marcus Spears, your thoughts?
Gee, listen, Deshaun got to get the hell out of there. That's number one. The fact that he hasn't come out with, look, how long have we been talking about this story now? A week and a half?
Yeah.
And Deshaun Watson hadn't done anything but added fuel to the fire of getting out of Houston. And he should want to. Like, there's a history here. I don't want people to get this misconstrued like Deshaun Watson just got mad about this particular situation and decided he wants out of Houston. It's been the trading of DeAndre Hopkins. It's been comments made by the late owner of the Houston Texans. It's been J.J. Watt talking about people on the roster and we wasted a year. All of these things. Deshaun Watson, in the midst of all of that, in the midst of everything that transpired in Houston outside of the football field, was 100% totally committed to being with the Houston Texans and being their quarterback of the future. Don't tell me about a damn contract, because if somebody put $170 million in your face, you're going to sign the damn papers too. Here's the point. The point is, Deshaun Watson has been wronged by this organization and franchise. There's history of players being wronged by this organization and franchise. And he understands I'm in the prime of my career. I'm watching these young quarterbacks ascend and have success. I want to be a part of a championship culture and a team that can win a championship. I'm doing enough individually to help my team win a championship. The writing is on the wall for Deshaun Watson. I don't think this is salvageable by who you hire. I think this is about the ownership in Houston, not the coach, not Caserio, the GM. Deshaun Watson will get out of Houston.
What do you think, Jeff?
I think Houston would be idiots to let Deshaun Watson. I don't care what you have to do. I don't care if you got to fire the general manager you just hired. I don't care what you got to do. You don't let Deshaun Watson walk out of your building. And whatever you have to do to build – listen, this is not a guy who makes decision and gets his emotions all out of control and makes comments. This is a calculated guy, right? This is a very intelligent player who understands what it's going to take to win and get – he's won championships. He understands what it takes. So do whatever is required to keep him in your building. Greeny, the last thing you want to do is let this guy to go to any of the teams we just talked about or any team in general and watch the success that he has. This guy is a difference maker. He changes culture in locker rooms the same way we talk about Brady and Manning. Do not let him out. You can rebuild a relationship. You got 6 months before you even got to worry about it. Get it fixed now.
Well, maybe not quite 6 months. Let's wrap the conversation on that thought, Dan Graziano. Give us an idea of where you would see the deadline for a decision here.
Probably the draft, right? Because if you wait till after the draft, now you're acquiring picks in 2022, and that doesn't really help you in any way if you're the Texans who have, you know, who have a need for a first-round pick this year as a result of other trades they've made. So you could think about free agency and if they have to answer the question there, but I would think if a trade is going to happen, that the draft in April would be the latest that you would want to let it go.
I think that makes sense. They don't have a first-round pick or a second-round pick in this year's draft. We'll leave that there for the moment. Let's get you to the NBA's game of the night last night. The stars were on display. James Harden, his second game with the Nets, up against the Greek freak Giannis Antetokounmpo and Milwaukee. Two great teams in the Eastern Conference. Here we go. Pick it up in the fourth. 8 minutes to play. Nets by five. Kevin Durant to Harden through traffic. Yes. James Harden, 34 points, 12 assists. Nets a seven-point lead. But the Bucks were not going quietly into that good night. Down three with five to go. Loose ball finds Brooke Lopez. Brooke Lopez finds a three. We're all tied at 110. A minute 20 remains. Tied at 119 now. Drew Holiday. In the lane, no good. Giannis, yes, he had 34. Bucks a two-point lead. Ensuing Nets possession. James Harden, he doesn't just shoot. He dishes. Harden finding Joe Harris for the three, and the Nets take a one-point lead. Back come the Bucks. A minute to play. Same score. Chris Middleton, yes. Bucks take the lead back. Good game. Nets get it back. 45 seconds remaining. Durant probing, kicking. Harden, no good, but he gets his own rebound, and he finds Kevin Durant. How pretty is that? Durant drills the three. Durant, 30 points, 9 boards, 6 assists, just over 10 to play. Nets leading by 2, looking to seal the win. Durant, oh, it's poked away. Durant turns it over. Bucks get a chance, down by 2, 3.8 seconds to go. Where are you going for a game-winning bucket? In they go to Middleton. Middleton contested. Oh, man, look at this. As we show you the replay, and that one rims out, Giannis Antetokounmpo is going right down the middle, and he is all alone. But Middleton can't find him. Up goes the shot, and it's no good. And the Nets hang on to win in game number 2 for James Harden.
We were young in Oklahoma City. You know, we're grown men now. You know, we know what we want. We really know the game of basketball now. You know, we're not those young guys that just run around and want to just shoot and dunk all day. We know the games, we know spots, we know, you know, teams, players. We're more advanced.
Pretty much seen every defense, every offensive scheme. We done been in every type of game, playoffs, game sevens, you know, so we done been through a lot in this league, experienced a lot. And for us to bring it together now and combine what we've learned over this time and try to play great basketball, I think it was pretty seamless for us.
So this is the stat of the day. Harden and Durant have combined for 138 points in their first two games together in Brooklyn. It's the second most combined points. And for teammates in their first two games with a franchise in NBA history, only Wilt Chamberlain and York Larice had more. By the way, Larice had a combined total of 12 of those points. Wilt had the rest. All right, let's bring Tim Legler into the conversation here because it is fascinating to watch them, and they don't even have Kyrie yet. So, Legs, I know you have a little tape on the new-look Nets. What are you seeing?
Yeah, well, look, James Harden and Kevin Durant, this might be the greatest pairing of just raw offensive talent that this league has ever seen. And what James Harden does is he occupies guys. I think he, Steph Curry, and LeBron James are the three guys that get defenses to occupy multiple defenders more than anybody else. Here's an example from just last night. James Harden occupies two guys at half court on a simple ball screen because you're that worried about him. Joe Harris just runs to the open spot and hits it. This one fascinates me because it's early offense. You have four defenders rotate to that side of the floor, and all eyes are on him. You lose sight of Kevin Durant, who gets the easy one. And in here, his ability to just beat his individual matchup, in this case, is Jrue Holiday, one of the best defenders in the league. And he leaves him in his rearview mirror. Now he's in the lane. Get that backline defender to come up, and you make the game easy for DeAndre Jordan. So it's just his prowess as a guy that will win every individual matchup in front of him. And then he's also going to force an overcommitment defensively. And then what that does to the guys on his team, it just makes the game easy. And right now, Joe Harris, DeAndre Jordan, even Jeff Green, the game is really simple for them. Just find an open spot and wait, basically, because James Harden is that good at breaking defenses down. And I haven't even talked about Durant. He's the guy at the top of the food chain on this team, and he just gets his seamlessly whenever he wants to. But the fact that Harden is getting these defenses to shift Greeny to his side of the floor, it's just going to make them so lethal some nights and really no answer defensively for what they right. bring at you.
And that's right now when they are a dynamic duo. But how about when they become a trio? When you add Kyrie to this mix, what happens?
Very difficult for me watching that game, imagining Kyrie Irving on the floor, because I love the flow that they had. And I talked about those other role players getting great opportunities. But when you now add another guy to the mix that's a ball-dominant player, I think the flow is going to be interrupted. And Kyrie's put himself in a little bit of a tough spot here by missing the beginning of this, because now you feel like the pressure is going to be on him to figure out a way to make sure that this thing stays humming the way that it has for the first two games. And you almost feel like he's being set up to fail. No matter what happens, Kyrie Irving is going to be the guy that people are going to point at, regardless of how he plays, if they start losing games or if this offense slows down. So I just think it's, when you look at this team and you look at the pairing of these two guys in Durant and James Harden, I like this team the way it is. But unfortunately, that's not how it's going to be. You're going to add another supreme elite scorer to the mix. And it's not just the fact that he's a great scorer. It's the way he gets it and the number of dribbles he takes and how he has to continually break his guy down in order to make it happen. I just wonder what is going to happen with the opportunities that the supporting cast gets. And I don't care what anybody says, you're going to need those guys to play at a really highly efficient rate. They're doing it with two ball dominant guys. You add a third one to the mix, it's going to get a little bit muddled out there. I'm fascinated, like everybody else, what it's going to look like.
They are going to be and remain the most interesting team in the NBA, however it goes. Legs, outstanding to see you. Thanks for getting up early with us here. Meanwhile, speaking of getting up early, we're doing that tomorrow because tomorrow morning on ESPN and the ESPN app, the second of three huge UFC events on Fight Island, the prelims will start at 9 a.m. Eastern. The main card starts at noon. We're going to come on tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Eastern time. We'll be on from 7 to 9 leading into the prelims, and you see it should be a spectacular day and morning of UFC action leading up to the McGregor fight this weekend. All right, we will take a break. Coming up, after a tough playoff loss to the Bills, the Ravens are airing their grievances about their passing attack. You'll hear exactly what they said and what they need to do next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, and in year one under Kevin Stefanski, the Cleveland Browns made the playoffs for the first time since 2002, and advanced in the playoffs for the first time since 1994. The coach was talking yesterday about the play of his quarterback and Baker Mayfield's future with the organization.
I would tell you Baker continued to get better all season. He did the things we asked him to do. Definitely led this football team from day one till now, but I would still tell you that these things tend to figure themselves out. I think we've got a bunch of ball games to look at with him, find out ways that he can get better. But in terms of the franchise quarterback thing, you know, I don't even know necessarily what that means, but I'll let Andrew answer that one. Make sure you save that one for Andrew this week.
Okay, so that's what the coach said. Let's see what the crew says. Marcus Spears, is there any question in your mind that Baker Mayfield is the quarterback of the Browns into the foreseeable future? They should sign him to one of those big deals quarterbacks get and go on with their lives.
I'm not super crazy. That wasn't an endorsement, okay? I'm big on the language and how coaches, general managers, and ownership approach conversations about players' contract. Obviously, Stefanski is deferring to Andrew Berry, the GM, because that's the one that ultimately is going to work the deal or whatever. But the fact that your head coach didn't say, yeah, he's our franchise guy, Baker is the future face of the Cleveland Browns, that bothers me, concerns me a little bit. Yes, he's done enough this season to be the franchise guy. First of all, when is the last time a damn Cleveland Browns quarterback even got to the point of a conversation about a second contract? Yep. So that's a win for Baker Mayfield right there, let alone his play. He did some things this year that showed me that not only the maturity at the quarterback spot, but also I'm going to step up and answer the bell when it's about the quarterback outdueling the quarterback across the field for me. That is the thing I saw. That's the most impressive thing I saw. Baker put the Cleveland Browns in games and won games with his arm off script. When Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in this offensive line wasn't demolishing people, he showed you that he can put you in positions to win as well. And I think that speaks to his franchise. Now, what tier, what money? I don't know, G. I don't see paying $40 million for Baker with all of the things you need around him.
What do you think, Jeff?
Listen, I think the money is irrelevant, right? Quarterbacks going to make what they make, and everybody sets the bar, so I don't even care about the money. But Baker Mayfield himself has done enough to earn the respect of the Cleveland Browns and Coach Stefanski. Like, if you look at this quarterback, how many offensive coordinators he had? Four or five? I mean, how many head coaches? Four or five? Like, yeah. This is year one with Stefanski. I mean, listen, he has done the maturity he showed from week one of this season to the playoff loss. I mean, it's unbelievable. This guy has made continuous strides. He continues to answer the bell each and every week. Is he a perfect quarterback? Absolutely not. But is he a perfect quarterback in this system? Yes, because you can have Chubb and Hunt and a very good offensive line. And he can find receivers downfield. They need some other pieces and parts around him, including on the defensive side of the football, to help them win more games. But absolutely, Baker Mayfield has done enough to earn himself a place in Cleveland.
Yeah, most improved player is not an award they give on the night before the Super Bowl. If they did and I had a vote, I would give it to him. I think he was the most improved player in the sport this season, including Josh Allen and anybody. Dan Graziano, let's talk about how it goes from here. Where do the Browns go as far as this is concerned, getting a deal done with Baker?
So he just finished year three, which means that he's now eligible to negotiate an extension for the first time. He'll be entering year four of his rookie deal. They have the fifth-year option for 2022. That probably comes in somewhere north of $25 million. We saw Deshaun Watson, we saw Patrick Mahomes last year negotiate extensions in this same zone that Baker's in now between year three and year four. So they'll probably approach him about an extension. Where that goes depends on the motivation each side has to do it. Kevin Stefanski's smart. He's not going to go out there and talk about Baker Mayfield, a surefire franchise quarterback for the future, because then the Baker Mayfield's agent goes into the negotiation and says, hey, look what your head coach said about my guy. Give me more money. So, you know, it's just the process. But they, you know, Kevin Stefanski went there believing that Baker Mayfield could be the guy long term, and this year proved it. I mean, did you see these throws we were showing on the highlights against the Chiefs the other day? I mean, couldn't do any better than he did in that game.
Yeah. No argument there. So, Marcus, really quickly for you, if I could, you're talking about you're not 100% sold on the tier. But I like the point that Saturday just made. Considering this was year one in this system, do you believe there's reason to expect him to get better next year?
Yeah, I expect him to get better. But I also thought that the strides he made this year, to me, were more impressive when he wasn't on script, when he needed to be the guy, that being the reason that the Cleveland Browns won games. That was what impressed me more about Baker Mayfield. And that's what gets you paid, G, like the big quarterback money. How much can you lift us when things are going haywire, when we don't have everything at our disposal? The win against Pittsburgh with guys not being able to practice, impressive. The back and forth with Lamar Jackson when they played Baltimore, pushing the ball down the field with his arm. This game against Kansas City, Baker Mayfield was not the reason the Browns lost this game. Mm-hmm. He did enough for me to say that he should be a franchise quarterback. But I also have to bring in mind, how much can you spend on him and keep all of these things at his disposal? Can he lift, per se, bad guys around him or guys that's not to that level? The Cleveland Browns have a lot of really good players, guys.
Those are the questions that pretty much every team in the NFL has to answer when they want to pay a franchise quarterback. We'll take a quick break as we continue. Is the best player in the sport going to be on the field in the biggest game of the year? It's a pretty simple question. The answer is a little more complicated. And it's next on ESPN.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.